We're still not sure on that location, so we're going to get that sorted out. This morning, we are privileged to have Transworld Radio President Dan Rees with us. And Dan has been serving with Transworld Radio now for, what, about 16, 17, 18?
20 months.
Oh, 20 months. Okay. Boy, I'm lagging behind here. And pleasure here to have Dan here. He loves the Lord. Maybe give us a little bio, a little bit of your background kind of stuff. And then, young people, I hope that you're going to hear what Dan has to say, because this is a ministry where people who have interest in technology and so on can serve. And so hopefully you'll have an interest there. There's material at the back. And Dan will be here at the end of the service, and so take the time to just greet him and learn a little more. There's a sign-up. There's opportunity for you to give if you'd like to do that. The church does support Transworld Radio, and so we want you to just know that we're doing our part as well. Dan, may the Lord bless you as you share in the Word, and looking forward to what you have to say this morning.
Thank you, Mike. I made the mistake of calling him Pastor Mike yesterday, and ooh, boy, that got quite the reaction from him. So, Mike. Greetings, folks. My name is Dan Rees, and as Mike said, I am the president of Transworld Radio Canada. And TWR, as we call it, is a ministry that has been around for many, many years. We seek to share the gospel through technology and through technical means. We started more than 65 years ago with an old surplus radio from the war days, and it was set up in Tangier, Morocco, and set up to broadcast across the Straits of Gibraltar into Spain, where Spain at the time was under a dictatorship, and it was difficult to do ministry in that region. And so this missionary kid decided to use the most cutting-edge technology available to him, and that was the radio back in the day. And for us, as we continue now 65 years later, in Canada we've been here almost 50 years with our office here in Canada. Don't worry, I didn't start it, but just been here with us for not quite 2 years. So we use many other new creative technologies to share the gospel. Today, I'd like to take a minute, and I feel called to do today is to really share my story of how I came to be at TWR Canada. It was a bit of a circuitous route, and I'll get into that as we go along. If you're patient with me, I'll share that with you. But first of all, let me just start off by telling you a little bit about myself. I'm married. My wife, Melody, and I have been married for 31 years. We have two children. Our son, Greg, is 27 and married and lives in Vancouver, British Columbia. And our daughter, Allison, Allie as we call her, is just finished at Trinity Western University with a nursing degree, and so she's now just beginning her, just yesterday had her first shift at a hospital in Hamilton, Ontario. And we're, the office for TWR Canada is in London, Ontario, and so that's where I come from, the Ontario region. So that's a little bit about brief story of my family. For me, I'll start off by saying I grew up in a Christian home. When I was born, my dad at the time was a traveling evangelist, traveled around with a man by the name of Ken Campbell, and so the Campbell-Reese Evangelistic Association, and they would go across Canada and the U.S., and they would share the gospel in revival meetings and tent meetings. So I learned of cities like Winkler, Manitoba, knowing that my dad was here at one time, back in the 60s and 70s, so none of you all would remember that. So again, grew up in a Christian home. At the age of 10, my dad, I was saved at the age of 4 at my mother's knee, made a profession of faith. Of course, didn't know what I was signing up for necessarily, but that's what the spiritual journey is, right? Growing in our faith. And so when I was 10, dad took a pastorate at a Baptist church in Kitchener, Ontario, where he was for 25 years. So I'm a PK. Don't hold that against me. But anyway, in high school, I really developed a love for and an interest in electronics, and that's kind of where I felt most passionate about. And I went to a year of Bible school at a place called Word of Life Bible Institute down in upstate New York, and there I really took this great heritage that God had given me through my family, my parents, and even my grandparents. My grandfather was a pastor of a church, one church, for 57 years in Michigan, and so again, a great heritage of faith. But it was at Bible school where I really began to take that great heritage and really internalize it and say, do I believe this, and why do I believe this, and what do I believe? And so began to take that journey of really understanding my faith. And that's something, quite frankly, that I continue to do even today. So it was after Bible college, it was just a 1 year, just straight Bible. There was nothing else attached to it. I went to a community college for electronics engineering technology, and then spent 18 years in the industrial automation and manufacturing world, just applying the, you know, working in technology for those years. The Lord provided an opportunity for me then to work for 6 years with another nonprofit organization, a Christian ministry that reaches the world through literature distribution all around the world. And then the next 3 years before joining TWR, I was a consultant working with churches, helping them with fundraising for capital campaigns. And so it was there while I was at a working with a church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I felt God reach into my life and call me here. But that's the story I'm going to get to. Before I do that, there's a parallel, a passage that the Lord brought to my mind early on. So I want to read the first 12 verses of Exodus chapter 3, if you'll bear with me here. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Hivites and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel had reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Let's just pause and pray for a moment. Father in heaven, as we come before you this day, as we take time to just talk about what you are doing around the world, I just pray that you would again, remind us of your presence. Allow us to sense that you are here with us. And I just pray that you would bless this wonderful group of people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, again, as I said, I left off the story. I was in Pittsburgh, and out of the blue, I got this message from a headhunter, and it said, "Dan, would you consider the role of president at Trans World Radio Canada?" Now, for me, I've known of TWR. I didn't have to vet the organization or learn about them. I knew who they were. In fact, I remember as a teenager, a couple going to the mission field with Trans World Radio Canada, TWR. Steve and Barb Shantz, my dad was their pastor, and so they went out from our church. So I was very much aware of the organization, had tracked along with mom and dad along Steve and Barb's journey, and heard many stories. And of course, as a pastor's kid, it's very often that missionaries come and stay at your home or come for dinner, that type of thing. So, I mean, again, I was very aware of it. But the struggle I had was I immediately realized that this isn't just a job. This is something you really need to be called to. And can God just call somebody out of the blue? You know, I in my mind, I'm a visual guy, so I immediately saw that, if you will, the scales of justice. And if on one side you put all of the skills required to run an organization or to lead a ministry as large and complex as TWR, the skills, the energy, the passion, the creativity, and so on, you put that on one side, and then you put Dan on the other side. And I just didn't feel that it brought the equation to balance. You double my side, it still didn't bring it to balance. The only thing that really brought that to balance was an outside force acting on my side, the finger of God tipping the scale, bringing it to balance. So I immediately recognized this wasn't just a job to be sought after. This was something that you really need to be called to do. And so my struggle was, well, can God just call somebody out of the blue? So very quickly, the Lord actually brought me to this passage, and that's why I've read it. I mean, my story kind of parallels a little bit of Moses, but the Lord brought me to Moses. And what was Moses, you know, God gets his attention. And what was Moses doing? He was minding his own business, like I was in Pittsburgh. And God gets his attention and says, "Moses, I've got something for you to do. Come, join me, help me out." And what was Moses' response? Moses' response was, "Oh, no, don't pick me. I don't speak very well. I'm not a great leader, and no one's going to listen to me anyway. So no, just don't pick me." And I said, I relate to that. The next person that came to my mind was Gideon. And what was Gideon doing? Minding his own business. And God gets his attention and says, "Gideon, come. I have a task for you." And Gideon's response was, "Well, I'm the least of my family. Our family is the least in our tribe, and we're the least tribe of all of Israel. I'm a nobody. Why are you picking me?" And I said, "I relate to that, Lord. I'm nobody. I'm honestly nobody special. And so why would you pick me?" And then the Lord brought again David and Samuel and the Apostle Paul, you know, Peter, James, and John, the apostles, all of them, what were they doing? Minding their own business. And God called them and got their attention. So I said, "Okay, Lord, I get it. You can call somebody out of the blue. But are you calling me?" I mean, it was still a personal thing. Yes, I know you can do it, but are you calling me? So keep in mind, I need to preface this. I'm a Baptist pastor's kid. Which means, you know, the Baptist tradition, I'm not sure what it's like here, but for us, we didn't seek after the signs and wonders, the things that, you know, the unexplainable things. It just wasn't our nature to look for those things, or we kind of poo-pooed them a little bit, even, if you will. Just gives you some context for the rest of the story. So I'm in Pittsburgh. By now I've had, again, the Lord, or my wife Melody and I have always had a belief that if the Lord opens a door, we need to at least go through the door and see what might be on the other side. So this door opened, this opportunity. I didn't feel terribly qualified for it, hastily put together a resume and said, okay, well, I'm sure that will disqualify me quickly. But for whatever reason, the board decided they wanted to continue talking with me. And so I'd had now a couple of interviews with Mike and felt a great connection with Mike right off the bat. But I was now in a situation where I was trying to determine, well, God, I still don't feel that sense of peace that you're calling me. And I've been in other situations in my life where I've just had a sense of peace that, yes, this was the right decision, the right direction or path to take. And I just wasn't feeling that at this time. So I'm in Pittsburgh. Mike had just called me the day before on September the 13th of 2019 and said, Dan, the board would like to continue and have another conversation with you next week. Would you be willing to do that? And I was almost to the point of saying, you know what, I think you should maybe keep looking because I just don't know that I'm called to do this role. But I said, okay, I'll talk with you again. The very next day, I was driving back into the city, and as often I do when I'm driving on my own, I just began to, or I'll talk out loud to God, and I'll just say, you know, pray, whatever it happens to be. On this day, I was wrestling with, Lord, I need some direction. I don't feel peace about continuing. I don't feel peace about abandoning the direction. Help me out. Lord, what do you want? And I would just say out loud, Lord, what do you want? What do you want from me? And I again, didn't feel a sense of confirmation either way. So driving into the city, driving through Liberty Bridge or Liberty Tunnel, and I just finally said this, Lord, this is what I know. This is something I know. I trust you. I trust you. Whatever you want. And folks, it was just moments after that that I came out of the tunnel onto Liberty Bridge, and I began to just sob. This emotion welled up within me that I've not had before or since, and it was just this immediate, like a realization, like a being hit by a Mack truck, that God was calling me to do this work. And I began to weep and sob, and I just began to cry out. I said, no, no, not me. Why do you want me? Is there nobody else? And not out of anger or frustration, just out of disbelief. You want me? Why do you want me for this role? And immediately I had that immense sense of peace in my heart that this is what God was asking me to do. You know, he very quickly also reminded me, said, I felt him say, Lord, or Dan, don't be an idiot. This isn't about you. This isn't about what you can do. This is about what I want to do through you and through the people of TWR Canada. So I had that great immediate sense of peace that God was calling me. And another quote that came to my mind very quickly was someone once said, you know, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. And so that's something that gave me peace. Okay, he's calling me. I really believe that. I sense that. It was September the 14th, 2019, on Liberty Bridge. I know where I was and what I was doing. And so I have that sense of calling, but that God would equip me and give me what I need when I need it. So again, this is kind of parallels along with Moses. And if we go back to Moses, I want us to look at chapter 3, verse 4. And I think it's interesting. Moses was curious, and God says, hey, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. I think that, you know, some might think that was kind of like in a classroom setting where the teacher says, Johnny, and Johnny goes, here. So it might have been something like that. But I also think Moses was showing some willingness, some availability. He went out of his way to go to the burning bush. It was something that if it was me, I'd probably be a little freaked out by it and run the other way. But Moses showed some curiosity and went ahead and said he was there. He was here. So I think that's kind of a cool thing. I think that's what, well, I know that's what the Lord is looking at for each of us, is a willing heart. At the end of the day, we just need to have a willing heart. We don't need to have great skills or great abilities. We just need to be a vessel willing to be used by God. You know, it was then Moses, then later on when God said, I have something for you to do, kind of like me, he said, who am I? And many times he said, is there nobody else? Can you send somebody else to do this job? So for me, it was, I recognized that. And you know, often we can feel very inadequate and unable to do things. You know, for me, as I told the board early on, I'm not a great preacher. I can't exegete a passage of scripture. I wish I had my dad's skills to be able to preach like he did and to preach like Mike does. That's just not the way God wired me at this point in time, or not the skills that he gave me at this point in time. But he said, no, I can use you just the way you are. But often we feel inadequate and we feel like we just can't do something. And you know, we're sometimes filled with self-doubt and lots of excuses. You know, what did Moses say? You know, I don't speak well. I'm not a good leader. The people won't listen to me. He came up with a whole bunch of excuses to the point where God got a little bit frustrated with him and burned with anger, it says. So, but anyway, I think it's really important that we are mindful of the fact that even though we may come up with many, many excuses, if we can just trust the Lord to be the one who can provide for us, that is the key. And I love how the Lord responded in verse 12. And this is what I have rested on many, many times. And God said, I will be with you. What more do you need? What more do you need than to have God with you? If God is with you, who can be against you? So it's, again, for me, this passage just was a reminder of the parallel that it had in my life. I wanted to share that with you. I want you to understand again that I'm nobody special. There's nothing that qualifies me for being here in front of you other than the fact that God has asked me to participate with him in this ministry. And, you know, quite often the Lord will bring other people alongside to help you out in areas. You know, the Lord brought Aaron, Moses' brother, to help him, to be his voice. And so I find, even for me, the Lord brings people alongside me to help me and to fill in the cracks where I'm not the greatest. So, but here's the thing, folks. This isn't a unique story to just me. Yes, the Lord gave me a if you will indulge me, an experience, as hard as it is for a Baptist kid to say that. But the Lord gave me something tangible. I think for me it was because the you know, it's a challenging role to be the president of a large Canada-wide ministry, and so I've needed to rest on this and be reminded of this from time to time. So I think the Lord gave me that. But I really think the Lord doesn't often use the burning bush things, if you will. For most of us, and for me even in my life, there's just been those small little things where I've sensed a nudging of God, that willingness to be open, to be available. And really, I think that's the key for each one of you. You don't need to have a burning bush moment, but we have been given the command to go and to disciple. And we often, you know, the Great Commission, we often preach about that, and quite often what gets emphasized is the go. You must go to the ends of the earth. And for some, that is absolutely true. For some, you do need to go to the end of the earth because that's where God's calling you to go. But really, I think the emphasis, the action point, the action word in that verse is disciple. And I've heard it said, the passage could be read, in your going, as you are going about your daily activities, disciple. And that means each and every one of you. It doesn't get anybody off the hook because you aren't the one going. You are going in your daily activities. You are going. So make sure that you are discipling others and leading them, shining the light of Christ into their hearts and lives. So that's kind of my challenge to you, if you will, today is to be available, to be willing, to set aside the excuses, and to recognize that God is there, and he will be with you. So that's kind of the message part of today. But I also want to share a little bit of TWR, who we are. As I said, it's an organization that for nearly 60 or over 65 years has been sharing the love and hope of Christ around the world. And by using technology, and, you know, when I first started with TWR, one of my staff asked me, "Dan, what do you love most about TWR? What gets you most excited?" And, you know, I struggled with that question. For me, I felt like I was having to pick one of the ministries, one over the other. And I responded to this person. I said, "Well, that's like asking me which is my favorite child. How do I pick which is my favorite child?" And so I struggled with that. But I recently was asking the Lord, "Help me articulate what it is that I love about TWR." And the Lord said, "Dan, don't forget how I created you. What have you been doing?" It was technology. Technology is something that's kind of been the underlining part of my life for many, many years. And what I absolutely love about TWR Canada is that we have the privilege and the opportunity to use technology to share the gospel in places all over the world, in places that are difficult to get to by the human foot, but are able to get there through the airwaves, or through the internet, or through apps on your phone, and to be able to stream content. You know, TWR, again, I can't give you an exhaustive explanation of everything that we do, but I'll just touch on a few of them. In China, we have a Chinese ministry, and China's a very difficult place to do work, as many of you know. But we have something called Seminary on the Air, and it's really designed, a program designed to train pastors to be deep in their faith and to be able to explain and share the gospel and to share truth and discipleship with those that they are dealing with, you know, in the underground church. And so that's just something that is just a wonderful opportunity that we have to share the word. There's a lady from the Toronto area, Mrs. G was her name. She passed away. Her husband, though, Dr. Griffiths, is still alive, and yesterday he turned 100 years old. But Mrs. G took and made a series of going through the Bible and making Bible stories for kids. And a number of years ago, I think it was Ray who said, "Mrs. G, why haven't you put these into other languages?" And she said, "Well, nobody's asked me before." And so TWR Canada has been able to take the Bible Stories Alive material, translate that into several different languages, and we've now are be able to broadcast that or put that onto apps and memory cards, and it's being used. And in fact, in China, where it really the idea came from was Ray was in China and asked the people there, what one thing do you need? What would help you out? And these people said, "You know what? We need stories for kids, because we come from an honor-shame culture where we don't want to admit that we don't understand the scripture. And so if you have stories for children, we'll be able to listen to them and learn ourselves about the scripture." And so that's something that we've had the opportunity to develop and to translate. So right now we've in our office in London, Ontario, we've translated, and now we're voicing. We're doing the production, the audio production for Arabic and for Spanish, and that's being broadcast in Swahili as well in Africa. So that's just another one of our little projects that we have. We also have a ministry in for the Persian-speaking world in Central Asia. There's a country there that is very, very challenging to do work in, and you cannot be open about your faith. You can't share openly the gospel. In fact, people are there trying to turn you in. They get paid to rat you out. And so I want to just share one little story of a guy who, he's a taxi driver in this country, and he thought, "Hey, you know what? I'll take a little memory card, and I'll put a memory card in my back seat. Gives me a bit of plausible deniability. Oh, somebody must have left it. But this memory card on it, it has the Bible in their heart language. It has material, discipleship material in their heart language. And all they need to do, most phones in these countries aren't like iPhones, but they have a spot where you can put a memory card in. So most people have a phone and are able to use that to listen. So this is how he's sharing the gospel. Now, the story doesn't end there. Recently, our Persian ministry director, Tony, told us this story. He said this taxi driver told Tony that a few months ago, a lady got into his back seat and immediately said, "Excuse me, sir, are you a Christian?" And of course, the taxi driver, very concerned, "Well, what? Who is she? I don't know her. Is she somebody going to tell on me and rat me out to the authorities?" So he said, "Well, why do you ask?" And so this lady then went on to say, "6 months ago, I was in your vehicle. You picked me up, and I found one of these memory cards, and I took it. And I've been listening to it. My daughter and I have been listening to this material for the last 6 months. We have many, many questions about Christianity. Can you help us?" And so this taxi driver, still uncertain, wanting to have a little bit of, separation, he said, "Well, I know a Christian. You give me your phone number, and I will connect you to him." Oddly enough, she did. In this culture, of course, a woman talking to someone who's not her husband in the first place is a bit odd. But anyway, she gave him her phone number. He gave it to this local leader in the church, pastor, and he then began conversing with her over like WhatsApp or Signal or some text messaging system, and was able to share the gospel with her, bring her to answer many, many of her questions. He came to a point where he could not fully answer all of her questions, so he connected her with Tony, who's part of our ministry, and Tony was able to lead her to the Lord, and her daughter as well. And so we're still praying for her husband, who hasn't made a profession yet, but we're just trusting that the Lord will bring him to himself as well. So that's, just a story. What I really love about that story is a couple of things. One, the creativity of somebody to come up with a unique way to share the gospel in a country where it is extremely difficult to share the gospel. And secondly, the use of technology. It just resonates. It fits with my character and my nature, and I just love the fact that we are able to use technology to share the gospel. And in other places of the world, we this looks like a radio, but it's actually has a little memory card in it. And this memory card, we can put content in the heart language of the people in that region. And in India, for example, we have over 7,000 radio home groups that use something like this, that a group of people will gather around, 8 or 10 people. They'll listen to the content. It'll be the Bible in their language. It'll be discipleship material in their language. And then the leader can talk with them and share with them and answer questions. And so pray for India and pray for the radio home group ministry in India. It's now expanding into Bangladesh. And we've also, again, recognizing that two things for TWR: we must evangelize, but we must also disciple. If we don't disciple, and that's what I love about this congregation. I've been here with Mike for a couple of days now, and I've seen discipleship in action, and I just, my heart is warmed by that. But around the world, we don't many countries don't have the resources like we North Americans do, and so it's difficult to get content. So a number of years ago, Ray and the team before me, they developed something called Discipleship Essentials. And it's a series of lessons, over 130 lessons, that take someone through a very basic understanding, starting off with who is Jesus, and bringing them through a better understanding of their faith. And so Discipleship Essentials has now been translated into, I think, 17 or 18 different languages, and is being used around the world. In fact, in the Philippines, The Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination has adopted Discipleship Essentials as their primary discipleship tool. And so they have thousands of small groups meeting each week using Discipleship Essentials material in their heart language, made, you know, contextualized for them and their culture, so that they can, again, grow in discipleship. So those are just, again, you know, and on our phones, we now have an app, the Speak Hope app, which allows us to have this content available. We haven't abandoned the radio. We still have a great need for the radio, but we also see that there's opportunity to continue to use the cutting-edge technologies of today. And, you know, I think even during this pandemic, it's been impressed on my heart that TWR has been uniquely created for such a time as this. We have the message of hope in Christ. We have the medium, the means, the content which we can share. And then we have the medium, the media, to be able to distribute it around the world to people that are locked up in their homes. And so we're just so grateful that the Lord has given us this opportunity to continue doing his work. And finally, here, even in Canada, we have we recognize there's still great need here in Canada to share the gospel in the province of Quebec. It's one of it's a province that has less than 2% of the people that would be considered evangelical Christians. And so we've been working with a ministry there, Aujourd'hui l'Espoir, for many, many years. And they've just been granted a license from the CRTC to set up a radio station in Brownsburg, Quebec. And we're in the process of getting that built and put together so that they can run that and we can provide content. Another ministry that we work with is Galcom, and they've provided all the hardware for that, the transmitter and the antenna. And getting that set up. And again, for TWR Canada, I think one of the key things with us is that we seek to partner with the church and partner with other people around the world. We don't, you know, have our own boots on the ground necessarily in every part of the world, but we partner with organizations that are there. And for me, that's really, really critical. It's important that we, to the best of our ability, as much as possible, that we are interfacing with people that know the culture, that look like everybody else, that speak the language. And so that's why partnership for us is such a huge thing. And partnering with the church, local churches, and is such a key part of what we do. And so anyway, there's so many more things we could talk about, but I do appreciate the opportunity to get my feet wet here in this part of the world. And under the lockdown, I've been here, as I said, got on just before COVID hit, and so I haven't been able to get out and meet people. It's so good to see people and to be with people again. But thank you for your time, and may God bless you.
Our small group leader, come on up and stand over here with Dan, and we're going to pray. It's really quite fascinating, isn't it, that God would use the things that we've been learning through education and our interests. And he says, I want to take that, and I want to, in effect, I want to reach every people group in the world. And so, Dan, you've heard this statistic before, whether it was by me or Ray, but Dan certainly is quite aware of it, is that TWR has a 4.2 billion people that they can reach. That's quite a footprint, with 230 plus languages. And that's just via mass media. We're actually making other inroads as well through MP3 players and so on. Amazing stuff. Anyway, we want to pray for you, Dan. So the guys are just going to rally around you for a moment. Maybe put your hand on them if that's all right.
That's fine. That's great. Thank you. Prayer.
Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to just hear what you're doing. We're humbled by the fact that we get to have a part. It's true, Lord, that you sometimes reach us in some pretty unique ways, and thank you that you made that clear to Dan, that you wanted to use he and Melody to champion the cause of the gospel through mass media. Lord, you know the men and women that are here this morning and their hearts' desire to reach others. And we sometimes wonder, Lord, you know, some of the young people here saying, you know, what am I going to do? What could I do? And some of their interests lie in some of the things that were said here today. And so I pray, Father, that you would use the things that were said here as you've touched Dan's heart. May you touch our hearts. And may we continue to pray for the work that you're doing through Transworld Radio. Pray that you'd watch over Dan and Melody, give them journey mercies as they travel, as they meet different people. May your heart, Lord, be expressed through their hearts. And may people respond by faith to your marvelous grace. Thank you for Dan here today and just an opportunity that we've had to just get to know him and just pray that you'll bless his journey even as he travels to Arcola today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Well, Lord bless you. There's, like you said, there is a little bit of a display back there. Dan will be back there. You may have some questions, whether you're a young person, say something. You might say, you know, I'm electronics. I have an interest in electronics. What about programming? What about those kinds of things? Dan would be likely to answer your questions, and so don't hesitate. Lord bless you. Have a great day.